everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Sailor Moon Crystal After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. Tonight we are covering Season 3, Episode 5, Act 30, Sailor Uranus, Sailor Neptune, or Sailor Uranus, Haruka Tenno, / Sailor Neptune, Michiru Kaio. They really like titles on Sailor Moon Crystal. We'll be back with you guys after the break. Stand by.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I was like, there's no way I'm going to be able to remember all the titles for this one.
Every single title is a giant mouthful.
I mean, it's one. Yeah. This one, it's literally just like a list of names. It's like, yes, this person, their secret identity is this. And this other person, their secret identity is this.
They want everybody to be represented.
It's true.
You know,
it's true.
What are you going
to
do?
You know what? I appreciate that. I totally do. Yeah. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Sailor Moon Crystal After Show. We are here tonight hanging out, talking about Sailor Moon. If you guys want to talk to us, you can in the live chat on YouTube, which a lot of you guys are doing right now. Though if you are watching on YouTube, be sure to go on over to iTunes and rate us there, leave us reviews, let us know what you think. Though, of course, we really appreciate everyone joining us in the YouTube live chats. If you're listening on iTunes, remember you can always watch us live at 10 p.m. on Monday nights, or you can watch us afterwards recorded so you can just see our faces as well as hearing our voices talking about our love of all things Sailor Moon. And you can also talk to us on Twitter using that hashtag ABTVSMC. I am Emma Fife. You can find me all over the internet wrever Emma Fifes are sold at Emma Fife. And I am joined by the fabulous Markia McCarty.
Oh, that's me. Yes, the fabulous Markia McCarty.
And her fabulous, fabulous jacket.
Oh, yes, thank
so
you.
Cute. Yeah, if I'm you guys are listening on iTunes, you really should tune in. Like, just go over to YouTube just so you can see Markia's jacket because it's pretty badass.
And I'm going comic book old school with a pow.
Wow. Nice.
Pow on the t-shirt. Yeah, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Markia McCarty, MarkiaMCCarty.
And the equally spectacular Megan Salinas.
Oh, spectacular. Yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, you can tweet me at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin.
All right. Mm-hmm. So let's start by talking about what everyone in the chat is talking about right now, the new opening and the new ending.
Yeah.
Isn't that something else?
Yeah.
I was listening to it. I was like, these are different vocals. Mm-hmm. Am I crazy?
And the instrumental arrangement was slightly different as well. I thought it was very subtle. It sounded almost a little more like synthesized to me.
Oh, maybe they were doing some auto-tune. It's like, we're getting hit with the time.
Auto-tune with the fake violin.
It wasn't bad, but I just was like, why change it? I'm definitely like a big proponent for the newer opening that we had, and as well as the new ending.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of like, how? We're only a couple episodes in. Why change it now?
I'm kind of on board with it. Not necessarily for what it is, but for what it represents. Mm-hmm. Where, like, as the season progresses, like,
we'll
there's going to be, there's going to be changes in the beginning. There's going to be changes in the ending and the outro.
You know,
like, I kind of like that.
There are certain anime openings that are really bad about actually, like, giving away most of the plot points for the season. And I feel like there are certain shows that actually address that very well, that as the series goes on, they update the opening. Not necessarily, like, they don't have to change the whole thing, but they show things that they weren't doing. Sword Art Online 2 actually did this really, really well.
Yeah.
Sword Art Online 1 was not good about it at all, but Sword Art Online 2 was really good. Like, they do a character reveal at one point, and then it gets incorporated into the opening, and then in the second half of the season, they add more characters, and those guys pop
up. Right.
It's like, that's really cool. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
But I like that. It's like, because with, like, the intro, it's like, oh, this character's dead, so we're not going to show them anymore.
Yeah, so I apologize for not researching this, but Lucas in the chat says that the vocals, and I assume, Lucas, you mean that it is, what is her name? Mitsuku Horie, who was the voice of Sailor Galaxia in Sailor Stars, is the one who's actually singing the new opening.
Oh, okay. No way.
So she sang the Sailor Stars theme song on the 20th anniversary celebration album. And I assume, Lucas, please correct me if I am not quoting you correctly here, but Galaxia's original voice actress is the new vocalist. So the other woman who sang the original opening for In Love with the New Moon also sang a cover of Otome no Policy, which was the ending theme for Sailor Moon R, again on the 20th anniversary album. So obviously they're, like, bringing in some of those people.
They're bringing in alumni.
Yeah. It's like we get history, but we also get a little bit of foreshadowing because Sailor Stars exist, and the Sailor Star singer is doing this. Totally. So maybe we get to Sailor Stars.
Yeah, yeah. So,
which, look out, Mama Chan.
Oh, yeah.
You think you were jealous before.
Yeah, you think.
You wait, my man.
He doesn't even know.
I know. No. She has so many lesbian loves. It's great.
She was serious.
The new ending song, though, I mentioned Otomeno Policy. So it's sort of similar in that it's like an animation, but instead of being Usagi walking through just the world, it's Chibiusa. And it's Chibiusa, the seiyuu for Chibiusa is the one who's singing it, and the men's voice in it, I don't know if there are multiple men singing, but I know one of them is definitely the voice actor for Tuxedo Mask. It doesn't make it any less weird.
No.
The thing is, I thought the song was kind of cute.
Yeah.
I kind of liked the animation. The men coming in and singing was like very random to me.
it was her background singers. We didn't see them, but you know, I really loved, like, in the episode where, you know, she got really sad about her mom, mm-hmm, and everything. They're like, oh, hey, Chibi, you want to go back? Like, no. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be a strong sailor guardian and then I'll go back. And then we have this beautiful little, this cutesy little outro where she's like talking about that. I enjoyed that.
Yeah. I think it's very cute, and it's very fitting in the context of that conversation. Mm-hmm. But maybe it's just because I'm trained by the 90s anime. I was like, I wouldn't have expected an ending like this until we got to Super S. Which, again, I know the manga is very different.
It is different, but there is still a significant Chibiusa storyline happening. So, yes and no.
I legitimately think it's just a training
Steve,
thing.
Can you take the timer off in front of the chat. Yes, in front of the chat.
Yes, please.
If you can minimize that, please.
But in the chat, Jalen Sayuri asks, does anyone miss the Outer Scouts old theme? First of all, I should slap myself in the face like Megan did for saying the word Scouts.
Hashtag face slap.
But secondly, what I was going to say is that, yes, I do miss the Outer Senshi's old transformation music. I didn't mind the transformation music in this, and certainly the animation for the transformations was incredible.
So beautiful.
Holy moly.
So lovely.
But yeah,
we'll get to that.
World shaking all day.
Oh my God. But that Outer Senshi transformation. The thing is, I don't really care for most of the 90s music. To me, it sounds like bad department store and/or elevator music.
Yeah, elevator music.
But with the glaring exception being the Outer Senshi's transformation and attack themes, which were out of this world good. And yes, I do. There was nothing to improve upon there. I wouldn't have minded if they just brought it back, personally.
Yeah, you just kind of want it to be a bad guy so that they could just change and then
do
their attacks at you.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where when the transformation sequences were happening every single episode, where it's like, I don't mind as much when it's this music accompanying it.
I totally agree with you on that.
But still, you don't have to do it every episode. let's get more
which,
episodes.
Which, again, I like what they're doing here.
I do too.
You know, like, stepping away from that and doing it every now and then, but like,
it's not just full transformations for every single character in every single episode.
Taking up 5 minutes of the episode.
You want to talk about economy of transformation?
Yes.
Sailor Mercury.
Oh my God. That was the most badass transformation that they have done this entire season. Which is like, you know what?
She broke a window, jumped out of a window. And transformed and landed in a pool. That was like John McClane was a magical girl.
It was like last minute, you see, she's actually going into a pool. Before then, I was like, oh my God, do her powers help her fly? Because,
The only thing that would have made it more badass is if she had finished transforming and then had used her power to like soften her blow.
Yeah, but she doesn't have that power to do that.
I mean, using water to break her fall, like
water blast.
What was the one
that was like
Mercury Aquamirage, her attack?
No. The one that was an actual water attack. I mean, we haven't seen it yet, but it was in the 90s one.
Oh,
not the life one.
Oh, Mercury Aqua Rhapsody. That's a good one. I love that.
I was going to say, that's not the one you're talking about, but
yeah, I'm escaping. I'm slowly but surely revisiting the 90s anime. But Zach in the chat, yes, and also at Grim Grinning Kiki on Twitter. If any of you guys have seen the live action Pretty Guardian Sailor Moon, the very first time that Ami transforms into Sailor Mercury, she is falling out of a window into a fountain.
Well, and this whole episode was kind of reminiscent of the first time we're introduced to Ami.
Sure, absolutely.
With the whole computer class.
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting because a lot of the stuff that happens with Sailor Mercury, specifically in the 90s anime, is more similar to what goes down in the manga and consequently in Sailor Moon Crystal. It's like, for some reason, the people who were working on the 90s anime were like, no, we like Ami stories. We're going to keep those intact. Everybody else, who cares? But yeah. Ami.
It's like, let's not make this difficult for ourselves.
Yeah, exactly.
Is it because she's the ideal Japanese student?
Maybe she's that's what so it is. Awesome. Yeah.
I don't know, maybe.
She's so awesome. She's so cute. You know, I mean, and now she's like swan diving.
Yeah, and this was,
you know,
this was for me like such a good episode for her because I felt like she really took initiative and, like, totally kicked butt in the way that Ami does. Like, her personality really shined through. I loved
it's
it.
It's like, oh, wait, do you need backup? No, I've got this.
Well, yeah. And, like, you know? She took out a security camera by throwing a pen at it.
Yep. Yeah.
James Bond hasn't done that.
It was like she felt them talking about her and then, like, wah.
It was amazing. She's like, there. Although, while she's in that room, I will say that not much must surprise her anymore because she sees a universe in a box and it's just like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, she's like,
what? I was like, I would argue that she was like, oh, that's weird, but sure.
No, she was like, I haven't heard of this one before.
Whatevs, I'm a reincarnation of a soldier from the solar system.
That's true. Like, so, anything does seem pretty believable to Ami at this point. It's like, yeah, we fought people from, like, a black moon in the future. I don't know.
Yeah, wibbly wobbly timey wimey. Yeah, nothing surprises me.
Nice. Now, it's like, how ridiculous is this school that they made a mini universe and it's just sitting in a deserted classroom like,
no one's making a big deal
so
about
this
it.
This is like the hamster to us.
Do you think
this is
that,
nothing.
Like, whenever they have, because basically, like, Ami was infiltrating the school. She was visiting the school doing this course because she was taking the, like, Mugen entrance exam because she wanted to meet Beto Yui.
Well, I love that she was like, who the hell beat me on this examination?
Yeah,
like,
continues to.
She's like, I have to find out who was number one.
Yeah.
We need to have words.
Yeah. Yep. Very true. But yeah, so I mean, exactly. So it's like she's infiltrating the Mugen Academy, and on top of that, she does a really good job of it. But secondly, do you think that anytime they have like an open invitation to the Mugen Academy that like Vilui just like conveniently takes them into that room with the solar system being like, what, you guys don't just have a solar system floating around in your school?
Like, I feel like she's showing off.
Yeah. She's like, oh, I know you're from the poor school, so.
You guys can only afford to make galaxies, not entire universes.
Whatever.
Yeah. Or, you know, like, you dissect frogs. We dissect other students.
Yes!
Just saying.
Dude, that scene was so creepy, by the way.
That was really when messed
up. We have nanobots to take people apart. That's what we do at Mugen.
Okay, so lots of scary things in this. Number one, Ami going down into the basement, basically, and discovering where they were making the Daimons, which, by the way, they have spider legs.
Yeah, like, it was so weird. It was kind of like Full Metal Alchemist when they discover like where the homunculi are being kept. Ooh. It's like, I was like, I don't like that this is what that school is doing.
Yep. Yep.
It's like, oh, that was my arm. Oh.
Yeah. And then on top of that, it's like, when she tried to attack her, and Vilui's like, whatever, I memorized all of your attack patterns, it's fine, here are some nanobots, they're gonna rip your body apart until all that's left is your soul.
Yeah, and that's something, she was so certain that she was Sailor Mercury, even before she ever walked into the room.
Yeah.
And it's just like, okay, it doesn't take much to parse out the rest of the Sailor Guardians after you get one of them.
Yeah, whereas, like, I just have to mention, because I just rewatched this episode of the equivalent episode of the 90s anime. In the 90s anime, Vilui is literally like, let's all reveal our secret identities. Swish, I'm Vilui, one of the Witches Five. And she's like, Ami, tell me who you really are. It's really funny.
I will say, because I watched all of this from the 90s anime, But I don't. I feel like Willowy wasn't there for very long.
Because she's literally in like two episodes. Yeah. No, it's so funny. And I mentioned this on the last episode because it's like they really drag out Udiel's story and they really drag out Mehmet's story. And then they're like, Telu, Willowy, and Cyprien, all gone. Like just one after the other. Much like they are in Crystal.
Yeah.
Because as, again, previously discussed, it's like these characters were the monster of the week. Like, we didn't have weird Yoma.
I wish that had been explained to me when we started watching Crystal. Because I would have been less shocking and heart-wrenching.
Yeah, I know.
Or like last season where they don't get their ice cream shop.
Exactly.
There's no ice
then
cream
in
shop.
There's just us. The first character death we had that I literally yelled out loud because I was not expecting it. I was still thinking redemption arc was happening.
It's like, no, retirement. She had a 401k.
Yeah, Farah in the chat was asking, she was like, how are there even still students at this school?
I guess when you're the type of school that, like, can afford to make a universe in a tiny book,
sure,
you have the money and the resources to be able to, like, quell
and cover it up?
Yeah, to like, cover up the multiple homicides that are at your school. What I did think was really weird was when Haruka and Michiru showed up to save Amy, her first reaction was, who are you two? I'm like, they're students at your school. They take a helicopter to the building where you all learn together.
There's a lot of helicopters.
It's hard to keep track of like the multiple race car drivers and
helicopters.
Violinists.
You know, we've got like seven of those on the 34th floor.
Speaking of, when Michiru as Sailor Neptune started playing the violin in the beginning of the episode. So that's in the manga, obviously. Yeah. But like in the manga, it wasn't clear to me that it was like crazy supersonic waves. Like I was like, whoa, girl.
What did it look like then? It was just like
It just was like vague waviness.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they're like, this is mildly annoying. This is Muzak instead of what you were playing before.
Yeah, whereas I felt with animation, you have the advantage of actually being able to have the sound of the violin.
And like the
And the vibrations.
As opposed to just having musical notes on a flat page.
Yeah.
I will say with that, though, like, whoever was manning the spotlights, good on them for also being able to manage the sound system as well. Dedicated stagehands.
True.
At that theater.
And I would say another really cool moment with Haruka. Well, right before she, you know, changed into Sailor Neptune in front of Yui and everything. She's just like, yeah, she's like to Michiru, she's like, well, we can't go here anymore.
That was amazing. Well, the way that happened, too, where they, like, had dragged Ami off, and then Haruka and Michiru show up, and they just, like, karate chop the students that are holding her hostage.
Judo chop.
And they're like, whatever, we don't go to school here anymore, it's fine.
Yeah, all right, let's change.
Let's be real.
You're just a Neptune out.
Yeah,
that was a mic drop.
I feel like they are way older than 16. Like, I feel like this was just, like, an undercover cop situation.
Like a 21 Jump Street thing?
Yeah.
Like Sailor Moon equivalent.
I was actually watching 21 Jump Street on TV today, so I think that's probably what made me think. Oh my goodness. Yeah. So crazy. And when in the end of the episode we got to see number one, their transformation sequences. Gorgeous.
Yes.
And number two, the other attack for Sailor Uranus, like fully animated. Because basically at the beginning of the episode, there's the whole thing with Michiru being like, see this mirror? It's a talisman. And then Rei for the rest of the episode is like, what is a talisman? I must know.
Wow. Ooh, there's three of them. That's one.
I know. I wonder what the other ones could be. And then when Haruka like takes out the space sword and I was just flailing. I was so excited. I was like, Oh my God, this attack is about to happen. It's going down. And it was amazing.
It vaporized everything. Daemon's gone. Yep. Yui, gone.
Yep.
Sailor Moon, just take a break. Take a break.
Exactly. Like, Sailor Uranus has got this.
Got it covered.
Yeah. But we got all three talismans in this, you know, episode. Well, we know.
Well, we know who has the other one.
We know who has the other one, which I'm surprised we waited so long. She's alive!
Yay!
She's alive!
I know. Gosh, aww. That ending was so cute too. Like with Reika, Motoki's pseudo girlfriend, friend, whatever she is, being like, "Nah, I can't go out. I got to study my mineralogy exam stuff."
I gotta go to mineralogy club, I believe.
Yeah, mineralogy club, exactly. Yeah. Like, I can't go get beers. Yeah. I gotta go talk about rocks.
That sounds like we're the right most next door. Boring club I've ever heard of. I mean, what? Everybody has got to have their hobbies. Yeah.
Rocks are, you know, rocks. Yeah. They're cool. Yeah. They have, like, you know, strata in them. Yeah. I don't collect rocks, so I don't know.
Yeah, I liked rocks for a while.
And the original manga, you know, author, she was a scientist. Yeah. She studied, it was geology,
There's a lot of geology in Sailor Moon. Like, there's a lot, like, the majority of, especially, like, any of the Earth characters, like, with the exception of Mamoru / Endymion, like, they all have, like, rock names. So, yeah.
Yeah, so you can see this. So it is kind of funny to see a character who is like, I'm going to go talk about rocks with all my friends. It's going to be great. Yeah. I'll see you later. Yeah. It's like, I feel like she's riding a little close to home.
Yeah. But then, you know, Setsuna's all cool with it. She's like, I'm here. I'm a first year.
Yeah.
I'm gorgeous.
I'm a first year college
and amazing.
It's fine.
And not trapped, like, guarding the door of time.
I know. That's pretty great. Yeah.
Now, again, not trapped. Because I haven't read the manga and I'm still new to this, I knew she was coming back, but at the same time, because the opening doesn't lie.
Yeah. Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm like, how?
Yeah.
Is she a reincarnation?
We'll see very soon.
Her at an earlier point in time, traveling to the past, and then she goes back to the dark time, and she stays there
in my heart,
death.
But I'm not going to say anything.
Nice. I love that.
Yep.
Because I feel like it could be a time travel situation thing going on.
Yep. For those that haven't caught on, myself and Megan have not read the manga. We're just going through Sailor Moon Crystal as is, like fresh eyes, while Emma has read the manga and is doing her best to keep it, you know, good for both of us.
And
so if you did not do spoilers in the live chat, that'd be really
don't
nice.
Do spoilers in the live chat, guys. Yeah, we really appreciate you not spoiling stuff.
We appreciate you, Emma, because we know we say things sometimes and it just crushes your heart because you know
it does crush my heart a little. Yeah.
And so I apologize. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and the way they explain it in Nouveau Voyage, too, it's just like a throwaway line and you're just like, oh. I'll tell you what it was when we get to why Setsuna's around now, but she's around, and I'm so excited to
Setsuna.
See her get back in the action and have the opportunity, you know, to fight alongside the other Guardians, which is the thing that she always really wanted to do. So,
she's got her dream.
Yeah. She's gonna be amazing.
Yep.
Dead Scream,
or
whatever they're gonna do with it. You know?
Peter Aguilar in the chat says Pluto and Jon Snow have had a long week.
Nice. Spoilers.
Oh, man. This is like when I used to watch Game of Thrones and I've read all the books, so I would never say anything. It was real fun watching the episode that was the Red Wedding and knowing what was coming. Game of Thrones spoilers. Anyway, can't wait for Pluto's transportation. Yeah. Yep. Okay, it's been a day, guys. It's been a long day.
Yeah.
Transformation.
I would love to see Dead Scream attack because I really enjoyed that in the 90s where it's just like, hey, here's this bouncing ball of death coming for you. And then it was just kind of like that wave effect and they're like, I want to see what they would do.
I just loved that Sailor Pluto fought with a key before Kingdom Hearts made it popular.
I know. She was the original key wielder.
Yeah, she was the original Keyblade Master.
Yep, the Garnet Orb. So
Keyblade Master.
So good. I love that. Love it. But the thing for me, I mean, Ami totally kicking butt and just being a way better Batman than Batman aside. She was like a Batman and a James Bond and an Einstein all in one. It was amazing.
If you ever a super spy, Sailor Mercury is the way to go, apparently.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah.
I will say, though, maybe it's just me, but I loved all of the elements of this episode. I loved the Mamoru Usagi stuff. I'm sure we'll get to that.
That was incredible.
I was very impressed with Chibi with that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Great. I loved the Sailor Pluto sting at the end, and I loved the Haruka Michiru stuff. But for some reason, and I loved the Chibiusa stuff too, but for some reason for me, this seemed like the most oddly paced of all the episodes we've had so far. And maybe it was just...
Because I'm watching it later in the day. I think some of it was the way that it was structured, where it was, there very much was like an act one and act two. Act one was about, okay, we know that Haruka and Michiru are Neptune and Uranus, and they've made it very clear that they don't want to fight alongside us. Mm-hmm. All the rest of the Inner Guardians, for the most part, are like, whatever, they attacked us. Specifically Sailor Venus, she's like, if they show up again, we're going to fight them. They attacked us. They made it very clear that they are our enemies, so we are going to fight them.
Sailor
like
Jupiter general. Was not having it.
Nope. No.
Sailor Jupiter was like, ooh.
Yeah.
It's like, this is not happening again.
Yep, exactly. And then...
Don't mess with Jupiter.
Yeah, so it was about...
I will bring the Mina to them.
So it was about, like, them dealing with, okay, this... We are dealing with this new information. We have these other guardians. They're more like Sailor Pluto. They're not really meant to be our allies. Why are they back? Because obviously, like, the cats are like, I'm really surprised they're reincarnated, honestly, because...
They're handlers.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's, you know, they, you have to happen. Have, you have to have Giles. They're yep. Giles.
Yep. And then the other part of it was that it was the plot line of Mamoru and Usagi kind of dealing with each of them kind of being interested in somebody else. And to me... That was the coolest part of the episode in that I just felt like it portrayed it in such a healthy...
I wanted to hug my TV.
Yeah!
I was like, thank you for, like, showing a much healthier version of this relationship.
Yes.
Than the 90s gave
us. So much better.
Than a lot of television shows do. Because a lot of TV shows are like, here, there's a couple together. Oh, they're together?
Yeah.
Oh, we can't have that. And they'll break them up for stupid arbitrary reasons.
Yeah. Where it's just like, what is going on here?
And ultimately, and somebody tweeted this earlier. I don't remember if they tweeted it at me or it's just something that I saw kind of browsing through Sailor Moon hashtag. About that, like, basically the conclusion of it was Mamoru and Usagi mutually as well, but they just love each other so much. And that's ultimately why Usagi's having so much guilt about Haruka, because she is really in love with Mamoru.
Yeah, but there's that draw that she has with all of her Sailor Guardians.
Yeah.
It's just this one's a bit more intense.
It is.
In a different way.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, we don't know. We haven't seen a lot of interaction between her and Michiru.
Sure.
Yet, so we don't know. That might be that, very strong.
Absolutely, absolutely.
In a different way, though.
I like, too, that, you know, with Haruka in that scene, there is this conversation that happens of being like, hey, quit stalking me, like, sort of teasing her and being like, listen, if circumstances, I wish circumstances were different and I could just know you as this cute teenage girl, but I know you're Sailor Moon and
you know I'm Sailor Uranus
and we're
now.
sort of at so odds sorry. With each other, so we can never have this sort of regular teenage relationship that I would like to have. Like, I would like for us to just be able to be fun and flirty, and it's okay, because it's okay to flirt with people. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, and you could tell that, like, it really hurt Haruka when Usagi called her Uranus.
Yeah.
And it was just like, oh, I could have gone on pretending, and you ruined it. The illusion shattered.
I do like how they've dealt with, just like, are you a man or a woman? It's like, does it matter?
Yes.
Like, no, it doesn't matter.
It really doesn't.
I really appreciate it. This has gone far and beyond, you know, what they did with the 90s, where it was just like, everybody's in this box. This is the box that people exist in.
Yeah.
It's just like, that was very freeing. That was very progressive, and I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Particularly the English stuff.
Cousins!
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
no, I really, really like that sort of gender fluidity with Haruka, where it's like, it doesn't... She's a guy, she's a girl, it doesn't matter, you know? Like, she's a person, and...
It's like, are you attracted?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah, and Usagi has feelings for this person, and it doesn't matter if the person is a boy or a girl, it's just, it is a connection, essentially.
Yeah.
But that scene, first of all, loved the scene in the arcade where Chibiusa shows up and is like... Oh, is Mamoru here? I want him to help me with my art homework. Because again, it's one of the things that's really nice about Crystal. Number one, in this episode, the entire second half of the episode was basically just Ami. Mm-hmm. Incredible. With a little Haruka and Michiru sprinkled in.
Ninja
even better.
Ami.
Yeah, Ninja Ami. Ninja exactly. Ami. But that scene in the arcade, we got to see those nice little moments of the girls on their own without Usagi and little, you know, snippets of their personality. And I always really enjoy seeing that. And then that led into Chibiusa going to Mabaru's apartment. First of all, I wrote down in all caps, like, bad timing, Chibiusa. Why did you do this? Because, I mean, obviously it was assisted by the fact that Chibiusa showed up and they did this family art project. But Usagi was about to say something anyway. Mm-hmm, and that's the thing that makes me really happy, is like just to see that mature communication in Usagi and Mamoru's relationship.
Yeah, that honest dialogue of like, I was jealous of you, and him saying, yeah, I was jealous of you too, and like them actually having this discussion was really great. And Chibiusa being mature enough to go, oh, are mom and dad fighting right now? Like, because that's a very mature thing to do,
to
acknowledge.
I don't want to disappear. So
yeah.
That's true.
They're gonna build this cup together. I'm gonna fall asleep with Diana. And if they need some more prodding.
Fall asleep, quote unquote.
Yeah. It's like, I'm going to exist.
Oh, so that was an act of self-preservation.
It was totally an act of self-preservation on
Something
Chibiusa's
which
part.
The 90s did not get with
I
her.
Guys, I'm going to just be real honest right now. I don't understand in the 90s anime how Chibiusa was ever conceived. Also, I mean, obviously, this scene
led. She wanted to be her own mother.
Very weird. But the conclusion of this scene where they make out, it was good.
I'm still not sure why Usagi's parents are allowing all these sleepovers. I am still confused by that.
Maybe Chibi hypnotized them with
Umbro. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, she
like, everything's okay. Yep. They're meant to be together.
Yep, get a little Luna P action, and you're good.
Yeah.
You're good. Yeah, no, and Mabaru, when Usagi's like, oh, I should wake up Chibiusa and we should probably go, and he's like, no, you should stay.
Show is so great.
It is. It's really good. It's really, really good. I liked the scene too where they had the like mutual dream.
Yeah, that was an interesting one. Like, dreams are playing a huge part in foreshadowing this season.
Yeah, totally. And again, it was another thing that it's like, again, it was in the manga where he, you know, where Mamoru grabs hold of Usagi's hand while she's sleeping and then passes out, and then they both have the same dream and wake up at the exact same time, which was incredible. But there was something really nice about seeing that animated, like, his hand moving to take hold of hers. It was very touching. It was just such a nice episode for Usagi and Mamoru. And again, great sort of conclusion to it when they have this really honest dialogue about their relationship. And basically he says in the end, he's like, I trust you, Usagi.
Yeah, no, it's so different from literally, I feel like 9 out of 10 shows play the manufactured artificial drama really sloppy side of the, like, the execution for this type of thing, where they have to fight and then it's half a season before they reconcile.
Yeah,
where it just doesn't make sense. Where he's so strong.
Doesn't make
her.
Sense, and it's frustrating and it's infuriating. And I really appreciated there was an issue with our relationship. We talked about it. It's going to be something that we're going to have to continue to work through.
Yeah.
But we're still together and we still love each other.
Yep.
It's nice to see that in TV as opposed to just, again, oh, we're fighting now, or I'm breaking up with you for literally no reason, or I'm breaking up with you because my future self sent me a really weird, vague vision of the struggle. It's weird.
Yeah. That particular plot line was extremely weird.
I don't know what he was trying to achieve. Were you trying to accomplish, future Mamoru?
I don't
Mamoru?
Know, future
I
King Endymion. nobody knows. Nobody knows. I wanted to point out that in the chat, Eilish, I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing your name wrong. I know I said it in intro on Love and Justice as well. Just phonetically spell it out for me sometimes. Says, in regards to how Usagi manages to sleep over at Mama Ru's all the time, she just, you know, tells her that she's staying over at Mako-chan's. She doesn't have any parents.
Oh, that's not a bad angle. No, that's not a bad angle.
No, it sure isn't. So, guys, we have some new iTunes reviews.
Yay!
Oh, yay.
Yep. Let me go to most recent, and then I can read them for you. So first of all, we have 5 stars. Love the after show by Codename Sailor A. Absolutely love the show. It makes me so proud to be a longtime fan of the series. I can't wait to see your reactions to the rest of the season. Keep up the great work. Smiley face. Next one. I love Sailor Moon and this show. 5 stars by Jimmy Boy 2394. I love watching this After Buzz show every Monday with these lovely ladies. Sailor Moon is a big part of my life and always will be. Everybody should watch Sailor Moon and the show. And also everybody should listen to Emma Fife's podcast, Love and Justice.
Yeah. Nice.
Thanks, Jimmy Boy. I did not pay him to write that, by the way. And then the last one is, it's a moon and a heart is the name of it. And it is Sailor by Sailor Gold. And it's, yes, now I just need them to rewatch the 90s anime.
Nice. That would be a fun excursion.
Yeah, totally would. So thank you guys so much for all of the wonderful iTunes reviews. Again, guys, it makes us look good if you leave us iTunes reviews. Lets our producers know that you like us talking about Sailor Moon and other anime in general, and helps us continue to do really cool after shows like these, and also maybe get sweet guests in here, which we should have some more coming up here very shortly. Right. Any other things you guys want to touch on before we dive into some predictions?
Just that if this, first of all, Chibiusa's art project, it looks a lot like the art project that when I was in sculpting class, I would make, in that it's not very good. It looks like a child made it. But if this family art project made with glitter and plastic jewels turns out to be the actual chalice that she was talking about in the episode that her mother kept, I will laugh so hard.
Yeah.
I will just be very happy.
Yes. I mean, you want to talk about a little foreshadowing? I want to make the Holy Grail for my art class project.
It belongs in a museum, Emma. It belongs in a museum.
Or so Indiana Jones would have us believe. All right, and with that being said, let's roll into some predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV.
I don't know why I was looking around a gate like that.
It's fun to look at the studio lights. Okay, so we don't know what's happening. Emma does, so Emma's gonna...
I'm gonna just sit here in silence.
Poker face. Mm-hmm. Poker face. Mm-hmm. It looks like the next episode is focused on Jupiter a little bit, and I feel like it looks like it's gonna be a focus on Jupiter and Pluto, which will be great. I hope that it's an explanation as to why Pluto's here and why she's not super, super dead. Mm-hmm. As far as the Mugen Academy stuff, Haruka and Michiru's cover, it's totally blown. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see if they cross paths with Pluto or if they're going to continue acting as kind of their own free agents to achieve their ends.
Sure.
Or maybe they'll attack her in trying to get the final talisman. Who knows?
I believe that we're going to see some Jupiter-Uranus fighting action in the next one. I think they're going to butt heads because Jupiter was already...
Yeah, they already kind of had a run-in.
Yeah, so I think we're going to get some Haruka in her and then like some, you know, Uranus in her going on. I think that has to happen the next episode.
Yeah.
Along with that, I think we're going to see some of a little bit more Neptune. We actually haven't gotten a lot of Neptune lately.
Yeah.
You know, she's just kind of this beautiful, mysterious, elegant, but we don't really know her humor or anything like that. We know Haruka's. I want some more Michiru, so I think we're going to delve into some Neptune also.
Yeah, we need a little more Michiru action always.
She's,
I love her.
I feel like once they get through this, she's a little bit more lighthearted and free-spirited than we're seeing her right now because they're on a mission.
Right.
So I feel like once that mission is accomplished, she can be like, oh, this burden's off my shoulders. Let's have some fun. Yeah.
And Andrew Fedge in the chat says that my eyebrows are not following my stone face plan. I'm sure that was specifically in regards to Uranus and Neptune's mission.
It's just going to stare over here and look directly at you.
Anyway, anything else? Any final thoughts?
Just all around really good episode. Yeah, like I said, really kind strong. Of oddly paced.
Yeah, because again, as I was saying, it's like they kind of broke up the story into like, here's the story of Usagi and Haruka. Here's the story of Usagi and Mamoru. And now this whole second half is just Ami at the Mugen Academy. So, yeah.
I will say I wouldn't mind if they did some more flashback stuff for Chibi. Since they introduced that in this episode, I wouldn't mind having some more of that because it's a flashback for her, but it's the future for everybody else.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's
nice. That is really a fun, interesting kind of dynamic to play with because it's not, I mean, usually it's like a flashback is a flashback, but like Chibiusa is living her future in the past. So, time travel.
It was just
fun device.
I know we've already kind of touched on this, but it was such a nice, endearing moment for her because it felt like an honest, like a child missing their mom.
Yeah.
That sort of moment. It was, and you don't necessarily think that she would miss her mom because she's with her mom and her dad every single day. But Usagi is more like her big sister than Neo Queen Serenity is like her mom.
Yeah.
I mean, like, imagine getting a chance to hang out with your parents when they were in high school. They were completely different people.
Yeah.
You know? That's not weird. Mom and dad.
I feel like my mom would not have been friends with me. She was in high school.
I think my mom would have been a less ninja version of Ami. She was very studious and was not good at sports. But I would have been friends with my mom.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, I think I would have gotten along with both my parents pretty well, actually. Yep. They're still pretty cool to this day. Mama Fife and Daddy Fife. You're right.
this weekend is Mother's Day, guys.
Yay!
In case you don't know. So remember to call your moms if you don't get to see them.
Yep. Or time travel back to the future to them if you're Chibiusa.
Meet them when they're in high school.
Yes,
it's fine.
Yes. Alrighty. Well, I think that is going to conclude our show for the evening. Megan Salinas, where can people find you on the internet?
You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. I'm also on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz, and I write articles for The Movie Chick. That's Chick with two Ks. Be sure to check those out. I almost had it.
Almost. It was good. It was good. Markia McCarty?
Yes, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Markia McCarty, MarkiaMcCarty, or Snapchat. I'm Darth Thin Mints, and I've gone crazy with Snapchat lately. It's ridiculous. Super ridiculous.
Nice.
And if you like live comedy, my improv group, Doctor Who Live, we do an improvised episode of Doctor Who, Never Seen Before, Never to Be Seen Again. We are doing our last two shows at I.O. It's been 4 years.
Yeah, you have been doing that for a while now.
Yeah, so that'll be May 14th and May 28th. Both of them will be at 10 p.m. and it's $5. And I guarantee you want to see these shows.
It's going to be a good time.
It's going to be crazy.
Yeah, I'll have to try to make it down there at least for the last one. And I am Emma Fife. I can be found all over the internet at my name, Emma Fife, EMMAFYFFE. For those of you who are listening, that is all Fs, as in Frank, no S's, as in Sailor or Sentry. They tend to sound the same on the phone
not
or when
scout,
you...
Though.
Yeah, not scout. Scout.
No.
Nope, that's not allowed.
No,
that word's not allowed anymore.
Hashtag say slap.
Also, you can check me out. I'm starting to do some Twitch streaming for a couple of channels, both DR1 Racing, where we talk about drone tech. It's really interesting.
Okay.
I'm learning a lot.
Nice.
And then I'm also hosting a Friday night party game show over on Blockade Studios. We stream at 7 o'clock p.m. on Friday night. So we're doing things like playing the Jackbox games. So if you guys are watching our stream on Twitch, you can actually go ahead and log on to Jackbox TV and play along with us. It's really super fun. I know some of you guys watched last time around, and that was really cool. It made me feel very special, so be sure to check those out. And also do be sure to check out my other Sailor Moon podcast, Love and Justice, a serious Sailor Moon podcast. You can find it in the iTunes store. Thank you so much to everyone who's watching us now. You guys are just, it's such a great crew we get hanging out here every Monday night, and it's just it makes us happy to have so much love from all of you, and much love to you throughout the rest of the week. Remember, you can keep talking to us using that hashtag ABTVSMC, and we'll see you next Monday at 10.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other After shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
In the name of the moon, I'll punish you.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.